Called Storm, reminding us about storms of life. Next weekend is the Father's Day weekend, and I'm not going to be here with you, unfortunately. I have to fulfill my father's duties. I'm going to Walla Walla to bring my daughter back home from college. But Dr. McLarty will be preaching next Sabbath here. And he will share with you the message, how to live the exemplary life of man and being a father, I hope. But I still have something on my heart to share with fathers, with men. And today, I would like to talk about how to live to be ready to die. And we'll focus on powerful statements made by a father to his son. I'll be talking primarily to men, but women can probably benefit from it too if you will be able to transpose the message to your setting. As King David is about to die, he shares a few important things with his son Solomon, things that every father, every man must communicate to his family. Wouldn't you agree that the final words of a man are significant? 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. As men, we have privilege and authority to speak to our families. What you say to your family as a father, as a man, is of significant importance. Sometimes I make a comment here and there and I say something and I don't even think that you know, it should be followed up. And after a while, I see our children are doing something. And my wife says, well, yeah, you told them. I didn't mean that. She says, you need to understand. They take you seriously. And they respect you, and that's why they want to please you. So we need to be very careful how we project, how we communicate things to our families, because they might be taken seriously. David comes to the conclusion of his rich and active life, and he's aware of the importance of living your life with the purpose of using God's potential, God's given potential, to maximize your impact on next generation. So he begins to challenge Solomon, take courage, be a man, observe the requirements of the Lord your God, follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. And if you do this, he says, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. There are certain things that every man must do in his life. And I'm not talking about, you know, visiting Mecca or going to Hawaii or getting a motorbike or riding a race car or something like that. David says to his son, Solomon, be a man. Follow God. Be successful. Protect the family name. But he starts by practically saying, Solomon, live like you are ready to die. You are not ready to die until you have recaptured your vision and your voice for your life. Every man has been given a vision and a voice. And if you and I are not careful, we can be really easily confused about our vision and lose our voice. And the only way we can regain it is through the divine intervention. Matthew 12, 22, 23 says that a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? The man who lost his vision and his voice came to Jesus and Jesus healed him. I hope that by the end of this service, some of you men who lost your vision and your voice would regain it again. And we're talking about spiritual things here. You are not ready to die until you have found a purpose for your pain. Every man will go through pain. Every man will have hard times in this life. Just like Joseph, who finally came to the point of his life when he realized, now I know why I've gone through all this pain. You are not ready to die until you have found a purpose for your pain. Genesis 50, 19, 21, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, his brothers. And am I in place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph had realized that he had gone through all this pain, so he would be in the position where he is to be able to save people's lives. Sometimes people say to me, your greatest ministry comes out of greatest pain. And I hope that there are some other ways of developing a successful ministry, because I'm not that excited about doing it the hard way. But you are not ready to die until you are able to figure out why you're gone through so much pain. You are not ready to die until you have transformed your generation for Jesus. You turned the hearts of your generation to Jesus. Acts 13:36. Bible says about King David that when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors. David served his generation before he died. Every one of us has a part to play in this world. Every one of us has a role that God gave us for this generation. And whether you're a father or you're a teenager, whether you are about to get married or you're a grandparent, there is a purpose for your life that God has given you in this generation. And if we are not careful, it is so easy to miss the opportunity that we have been given to make a difference for Jesus in this generation. This generation needs you. This generation needs your voice, your vision, your experience. In Psalm 78:4, David's generation made this decision. We will not hide this truth from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Every generation has its responsibilities to the next generation. David served God's purpose for his generation, and you and I have God's purpose for this, our generation. Too many people miss their opportunity to serve God in their generation. We serve our bosses. We serve our careers. We serve the things that we want to do in our lives. But we fail to see that God has a greater purpose for our lives in this generation. Don't be a person who will, at the end of his life, say, I should have, I could have, I would have. Make a decision today to rise up and serve your generation. That God-given purpose for you in this world. You're not ready to die until you serve God's purpose for your generation. You're not ready to die until you have conquered what has conquered you. Every one of us has areas of our lives that we have lost control of. Somehow, for some reason, the enemy took over it, has conquered it. The dominions that we need to regain back. Because whatever we don't conquer in this generation, you and I will pass on to the next generation to deal with. You and I are not ready to die until we have conquered what's conquered you. Oftentimes, we don't see the importance of conquering our habits, our addictions, our emotional issues, our relational issues. And we treat them lightly, thinking that, you know, somehow it will go away by itself. It will take care of it by itself. Some things will change. They're not going to change until you and I will change them. Remember what made David such a great warrior among all the warriors. The event that put David in the highly respectful position that brought him recognition and authority, the fact that increased his influence and made him being taken seriously, it is that he conquered the enemy of his generation called Goliath. His father was afraid of Goliath. His older brothers were afraid of Goliath. Goliath practically conquered the whole nation of Israel by fear. And one day David made a decision, I'm going to conquer what has conquered my father and my older brothers. And I'm not going to let the next generation to deal with Goliath. And David steps out to challenge Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:46. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Can you hear the intensity of David's voice? Because it's so important to him. David knew that he was not ready to die until Goliath of his generation was conquered. Every generation must conquer their Goliath. It can be a relational issue in your life that you need to conquer. It can be a habit, and then you need to conquer that. For too long, so many families had suffered from generational issues. And you and I are here today because God is calling us to deal with those issues and to be a man of God, to live a life of courage and stand up to your generation and say, no longer these habits, no longer this anger, no longer these marital issues will conquer my family. I will conquer them in my generation so that my sons or my daughters would not have to deal with them, and they would know that their father conquered them. We are the men that want to make a difference in our generation. We are the hopes and opportunities of this church to step up our commitment and our life of courage and make a difference in our generation because we are not ready to die. You are not ready to die until you have restored your relationship with your children. So many times we allow broken relationships to go for so long. We love them with our sons, with our daughters, and we think that, you know, that's just how life it is, and we don't want to deal with them. But that's not right. God needs us to be life changers. God wants us to turn the hearts of our children to Him and back to us. God needs you to be a tool in His hands in His ministry of reconciliation. Before Jacob was about to die, Joseph knew that he needed to restore his relationship with his father. And Jacob's spirit could not be at peace until he had restored his relationship with his son, Joseph. Genesis 45, 26, 27, they told him, Jacob, that Joseph is still alive. In fact, he's ruler of all Egypt. Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the cards Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. Then Jacob explained, it must be true. My son Joseph is alive. I must go and see him before I die. Wouldn't you want to see your children, both physically and spiritually, alive before you die? And be able to say with John in 3 John 1:4, I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. God is calling us to take a stand, to make a difference in our families by restoring our relationships with our children. For some of you, it is a son or a daughter. You have pushed it away for too long. That relationship that you need to restore, you need to fix. Or maybe you are that son or that daughter that need to restore your relationship with your parents. And today, God is calling you to go and do that. When your life sometimes seems so meaningless and you have no joy, could it be because you have some issues to deal with? There are things that you need to fix, things that you need to address and to settle and restore your relationship with your father and mother so that things could go well with you, as the Bible promises. Remember the fifth commandment, Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord, your God, is giving you. We are not ready to die until we have restored our relationships with one another. And today, God is calling us to do just that. You're not ready to die until you have displayed true love and created a delightful marriage environment for your spouse. Many of us men take it for granted. We think that our wives love us anyway, and they do. But we have to admit, sometimes we have a closer relationship with our cars than with our spouses. We pamper them, we take care of them, we see that shiny, a beautiful thing that allows us to have total control, that doesn't talk too much, and we think that this can be off for a good relationship. We fall in love with our cars so much that some of us men are not willing to depart with them. Some wish to be buried in their cars. And I can just see them looking so silly in their 76 Eldorado with dead battery on the day of resurrection. But let's take it seriously. Look at your odometer. It might say 30,000. It might be 50,000, maybe 80,000, maybe 150,000. Or if your car is like mine with 230,000 miles. That's a lot of miles spent with your car. Just imagine if you would spend that many miles with your spouse. What a close relationship you could build, you can have. Our wives married us not only because they needed someone to pay the bills. In fact, some of our wives are making more money than us. Every woman wants to experience true love, and every woman wants to experience happiness in marriage. And it doesn't take much to get married. It doesn't take much to have a wife, but it takes a man of God and a man who is committed to Jesus to bring true love and deep satisfaction from marriage to your spouse. And if you're not married, anyone can make a baby. Anyone can have several relationships going on at the same time. Anyone can have a one-night relationship here and there. But if you are going to bring true love to a woman, it starts by being committed to her. It starts by showing compassion and sincere consideration for her interests. It starts with continual care for her physical, emotional, and physical needs. Song of Solomon 2, 4, and 5 describes a poetical expression of woman's longing for true love in her life. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. You are not ready to die until you have displayed to your spouse true love and provided her with an experience of true happiness in marriage. You're not ready to die until you have cried out to God for one more chance. In our lives, every man, every person have some point in our lives when we realize that we need another chance. You're not ready to die until you got your vision and your voice back. You're not ready to die until you have found the purpose for your pain, the purpose of all the what you have had to go through. You're not ready to die until you have transformed your generation for Jesus. You took your place and then part in your generation. You're not ready to die until you have conquered what had conquered you. You're not ready to die until you have restored your relationship with your parents or with your son and daughter. You're not ready to die until you have provided and displayed true happiness and love to your spouse. But perhaps none of these points appeal to you. Perhaps it doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't minister to you. Still, you are not ready to die until you have opened up your heart to God and asked Him for another chance to renew the story of your life. One more chance to fall into His grace and accept His righteousness that will transform you and change you until you can say with David in 2 Samuel 22:24, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All His laws are before me. I have not turned away from His decrees. I have been blameless before Him, and I have kept myself from sin." You and I are not ready to die until we use that God-given opportunity, that one more chance that God is giving us. You're not ready to give up on that marriage. You're not ready to give up on that business. You're not ready to give up on that broken relationship. You're not ready to give up on that most important relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes it takes a simple act. It's so simple. Just to ask Jesus to be a part of your life, saying, "Lord, I want you in my life. Lord, I want to live in such a way that I can be ready to die. Lord, I want to live for you and with you that I can die or be ready to die in you. I want to give you an opportunity to use that one more chance that God is giving you to restore your relationship with Him. I want to give you a chance to ask for the opportunity for Him to help you to restore your relationship with your son or daughter or with your spouse or with your parents. I want to give you opportunity this morning to cry out to Him and use that one more chance to invite Him in your life so you would be able to make a difference in your generation and in your life. And as we sing our closing hymn, if you're willing to do that, would you please come forward? The presence of God is here. His presence is in this room. And He's speaking to every one of us. And today He's giving you an opportunity to say this prayer. The prayer for His help, His involvement in your life to help you to have a close relationship with Him. And as we pray, would you please repeat this prayer with me? Dear Lord, I stand before you here today in desperate need of you. Jesus, I have been wrong. I want to make it right. I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask for your healing. I know you love me. You died on the cross for me. And you rose again to give me the power for my new life. Today I open my heart and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. In your precious name I pray. Amen.